Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Junk Baller Podcast. My name is Michael Greenwood, and as always, I am here with my good friend and best friend, Kevin Otterbein. Kevin, how you doing?
I feel surprisingly alive right now.
Surprisingly alive?
Yeah.
Why surprisingly?
Because I'm 2 days removed from a horrendous migraine.
Yeah.
And I did almost nothing except work a little bit yesterday. I was going to play Ultimate Frisbee with you, but I was like, I'm just going to stay in. But I feel super refreshed right now, especially for the podcast. And at a time where I start to get a little sleepy and tired, I feel astonishingly awake. So I'm feeling good.
Good to have you be awake at this time of night at 6 o'clock. Yeah. You know, you experienced migraine and I was in bed sick for a good week with 103 fever. Don't even know what virus I had. Doctors tested it, came back negative. So I'm patient zero, everyone. Stay away from me. I'm good now, but yeah, that's one of the, you know, we talk about it all the time. We try to get more podcasts out and then life happens where we get sick or just work related stuff. It's surprisingly hard to find free time as 30-year-old men to record a podcast.
Well, I think the frequency of illnesses or like whatever has stricken us so far this year, the frequency has been ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm trying to make some adjustments to whatever it is. I don't know. Like, that's the thing. The doctors didn't know what it was. I'm like, great. It's not like, oh, yeah, it's this. You got to stay and avoid this. It's literally just I've had fever like maybe 4 or 5 times this year. So I'm going to try to get more sleep. It's a try. I'm going to try. I was hitting a good stride for a little bit where I was going to bed around 10, 11 o'clock. And then like a week or two ago, getting like 1 or 2 o'clock again is not good. But this is a baseball podcast. Enough about us. Mm-hmm. This is a baseball podcast. You're rocking your new Expos hat.
I am. I play for my church's softball team and we're called the Expositors. And I was like, this is the perfect excuse for me to get some Montreal Expos gear and a cap, which is something I've wanted for a really long time.
Yeah.
So I got this trucker cap, which I feel like would be suitable not just for playing softball, but also for recording a podcast.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. It's got the denim look in the front and on the brim with it, but it's got the white trucker vibe to it. You know, it's not all one color.
Yes.
I like it a lot. Yeah. I remember waking up one morning and I saw it on the desk and was like, I like that. I like that hat. It's a good hat.
Yes.
But you recently experienced Subway Series.
Yeah. It's not the first time I've experienced a Subway Series, but it has been 18 years since the last Yankees-Mets game I went to, and that was at the old stadium. So this was at the new one this time. Yeah. So I went with my good friend from Jersey, Ryan. Shout out, Ryan, who is a Mets fan. And I forgot how much I missed being at these kind of games because, like, the energy and the vibe, it was, like, it brought back memories.
It's like a playoff game.
It felt like a playoff game
in
the middle of the year. And, you know, New York is a baseball town.
Mm.
And the passions run high with the Yankees and the Mets whenever they play each other.
Yeah.
So you got, like, you know, taunts and, you know, yelling going back and forth, like, trying to say, let's go Yankees, let's go Mets after each, like, good play. And I was like, wow, I miss this. Like, after being, like, you know, I mean, Philly has its own vibe and its own atmosphere, but there's something, like, unique about the Subway Series. And I was like, wow, this really brings me back. And I got it. I actually felt excited to be in a ballpark again for the first time in a while.
Nice.
Just because of the atmosphere and, you know, the context behind that, too, with Soto coming back.
I was just
and
about
both
to
teams
ask.
Playing good baseball right now.
Yeah, both teams, they're, you know, tops in their division pretty much. Phillies just took the, it's going to be lost by the end of the night. As soon as I'm done recording this podcast, the Phillies will lose to the Rockies, the Mets will win, and then the Phillies will be out of first place. But I was just going to ask, because of the Soto shenanigans, mm-hmm. like it had to be added weight to everything.
Yes. Whenever he came up to the plate, it got loud in the stadium. And he struck out in his first at bat at the game I went to, and there was a loud cheer after that too.
Did you experience anyone like not booing or just more like cheering for him, like can give him like a round of applause? Because when we watched the Friday night game where they were broadcasting it, and like people were turning their back, like the bleacher creatures, is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Yeah. They were turning their back to him. And I can understand why people hate, the Yankee fans hate Soto, but there were some cheers with it.
On Friday, I wasn't there Friday night. We just watched it on TV. Friday night was like a mixed bag.
Yeah.
Definitely more boos than cheers. Agreed. I think there was like still like people who were respecting him for the year he was there.
Yeah.
The Saturday game, I didn't get any of that. It was all negative.
Yeah. Probably a different crowd on Saturday. Everyone was like, I'm gearing up. This is what I'm going to do this weekend. Like, I'm going to go to the Yankees-Mets game, and I'm going to boo the crap out of Juan Soto and make him hear it.
Yeah, and, you know, it stayed nice. I thought it was going to rain. And people were probably pumped up, too, because there was no trains coming from New Jersey to New York City because of the New Jersey transit strike.
Yeah.
So there was a lot more people on the PATH train coming in and on the subway. And I was like, there was like no AC in the subway. It was super hot.
Hey, we don't talk about controversial topics on this podcast. So the reason why I wanted to talk about your Subway series experience was it was part of MLB Rivalry Weekend. And while I like the idea of it to kind of bring back the I cannot say the word rivalry. Like, I just want to say rivalry. Like, I just want to say it like a child. But anyway, MLB wanted to bring this back because it kind of adds some weight to it. You know, the Yankees-Mets series, like, that adds weight to it. But a lot of the matchups were kind of more historical, more than, like, current rivalry. And, you know, they had the Tigers playing Toronto or something like that. I was like, what is this?
Well, when you say historical too, I think they were more focused on regional as well. So it wasn't like Yankees Red Sox were playing each other.
Yeah.
It was the regional team. So Yankees Mets, you know, Royals, Cardinals, Angels, Dodgers.
But Phillies Pirates.
In the same town, same vicinity.
But Phillies Pirates haven't been rivals for years.
Plus, they both play in Pennsylvania, which is why they put that together as a regional quote-unquote rivalry.
Yeah, but I don't hate the Pirates. Like, I have never once in my life, I'm 31 years old, I have never once been like, yeah, I absolutely loathe the Pirates or Pirates fans. I like the Pirates. There's no rivalry there. I was like, oh, this is rivalry weekend? What? Like, with the Pirates? Okay. Doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I feel like it would have been better with the Phillies versus the Mets and then the Yankees going up against the Red Sox and that type of rivalry. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know. In some ways it was a success. Some ways it wasn't. Like, I like the idea, but I think there should be different matchups with it. Like, the Dodgers versus the Angels, like, that's just L.A. versus L.A. Like, you should put the Padres against the Dodgers. That's a good matchup right now. So that way everyone, again, not everyone's going to have a really, really good matchup. Like, you're going to have the Giants up against Giants at Oakland or Giants A's was actually probably a good one. But the thing is, they're not in Oakland anymore.
Angels did sweep the Dodgers, though.
I know, but but they're not rivals. Yeah. Like, they're just living in the same area. Like, no Angels fan or Dodgers fan is like, man, I really hate the Angels fans. No one. No Dodgers fan cares one crap about the Angels. One second. So I think it was a good start, but next year I hope that they do better matchups with it. And obviously matchups and outcomes, they vary. But it's a good idea to kind of revamp and bring more people to the game. But it just didn't feel like it was a great success. I did see some people on John Boy Media saying like it was a great success. But I was like, I don't think anyone, a lot of people didn't even know it was rivalry weekend. I cannot say that. I'm not saying it anymore. We're moving on. But big news for baseball in terms of if you are a Team USA fan, Paul Skenes announced that he is going to be pitching for Team USA. And in our lifetime, has there ever been a better pitcher that has announced to play for Team USA than Paul Skenes?
Well, I would say no, but Team USA hasn't been a thing for super long.
That's been early 2000s? It's 20-something years. You know, was it every 3 years, every 4 years that they do it?
Mm-hmm.
But I can't name, I think Marcus Stroman's the last pitcher that I was like, man, yeah, that's a good pitcher. But Paul Skenes is on a different level. Mm-hmm. Now, Paul Skenes and Aaron Judge are the only two that have committed to Team USA so far. And that's fantastic. Those are two of the best players in baseball right there. Like, that's fantastic. And I know Team USA and Mark DeRosa, the manager, have really emphasized that they really want to run it back with some really good talent. But their goal is to win it all. Like, they're putting emphasis on this. And I think that's good for baseball because it brings in the best players up against the best players from the other countries. And that's good. And everyone's put out their dream lineup and everything for Team USA. But I have one question for you.
Mm-hmm.
If there's one player that you need to be on Team USA and this coming year in March when they play, which player do you need to be representing Team USA? Other than Judge and Skenes, they're taken.
I think I would say Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah.
He's a star in the making if he's not a star already. And he's young, and I think he could attract young fans to watch the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, I agree. Bobby Witt, I really hope that he's on that roster. I hope Gunnar Henderson's on that roster. You know, figuring out whether they play second or short, which whatever way, but they need that young talent to bring some youth and life into, because Judge is a little bit older. So is Mookie if he plays, and so is Trout if he plays. But I hope that they get some youth. But for me, I have to have Harper. He needs to play. He was going to play the previous year, but the last time, but he had Tommy John surgery. But Harper really hasn't been, other than last year's All-Star game, he really hasn't been like the face of MLB where he was a couple years ago, like back when he was with the Nationals. Because he's been an All-Star twice with the Phillies, but he's only been to one game, and that was last year. That's really been his only like limelight, other than the playoffs, in 2022 when he had hit Bedlam at the Bank. Mm-hmm. But like, he really hasn't been like the star power that and pull that he has recently. But I think seeing him in a Team USA jersey would be good, because he's been pretty, since he's been what, 16, he's been in the face of Sports Illustrated and all that. I think being on Team USA and being able to have another representation of him would be a good thing for baseball. And obviously I'm biased because I want him for the Phillies, but Bryce Harper's also, he's playing a different position now. He's playing first base. Like, and the fact that he probably would be the starting first baseman for Team USA kind of shows how good he's been. And I really think that he needs to be on that roster. I think he wants to be, but depending upon his health.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a dream lineup today where it was Bobby Witt, Mookie, Gunner, Judge, Kyle Tucker, Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, Cal Raleigh, and then Jaron Duran. And I was like, dang. That's
pretty good.
That's a pretty good lineup.
It's pretty good.
It's a pretty good lineup. And the thing is they're kind of athletic. Like, it's an athletic lineup. You know, it's not like just hitting home runs kind of type thing, but it's a good lineup. I hope that Team USA puts together a team that's like, wow, this is fantastic. I really can't wait to watch this. As I'm repping my Mike Trout Team USA jersey. I hope he gets back soon. I'm tired of him being hurt. What?
What?
Mike Trout.
I'm tired of him being hurt too.
Yeah.
You're tired of him being hurt so he could go to the Phillies and not be hurt anymore.
Correct. Yeah. come to paradise, Trout, even though the Phillies are, even though they're in first place.
Philadelphia's paradise.
Baseball, National League right now, it's first place. I'm sorry, is it much better than the Angels?
It's better.
Well, how would you, I think we could characterize Philadelphia versus, or the Phillies versus the Angels, it's a pretty drastic.
Well, I think we had to do it in terms of like Dante's Inferno and like the circles of hell and purgatory going up to paradise. Okay. Right? So like, I would say like the Angels are maybe in that fourth or fifth circle of hell right now. So, and then the Phillies are maybe like, I don't know what Dante's heaven's like. There's like circles like that too. Maybe they're like first or second circle, not like first overall, but like maybe like,
yeah,
you're getting in there.
Okay.
Sort of.
Yeah. All I know is it's better than the Angels. Yeah. That's all that matters. Yeah. And it's not even like just a next step better. It's a couple steps above. Gosh, yeah. The Angels suck.
They did sweep the Dodgers.
They did sweep the Dodgers.
Yeah.
It did. But the Dodgers also have had a lot of injuries too. Mm-hmm. Like, I surprised. Like, they still have Yamamoto. They still have Dustin May and Kershaw's back, but he didn't do great. They have Sasaki's on the IL, Glasnow's on the IL, Blake Snell's in the IL, Gratterall, Trinan, Kopech. They're all in the IL, and they still have a fantastic team. God, that's annoying. Okay. Enough of the general talk. Let's move on. So normally we do a fun fact, trivia, top five, what if. Today, given that there has been a recent release of City Connect jerseys, I felt it was appropriate to reveal my top five current City Connect jerseys. My top five favorite, not my least favorite, because there has been a lot of crap called on these City Connect jerseys. Because let's be honest, a lot of them are crap, but there are some good ones. And I'm going to go through my top five favorite current ones. That means that the Cherry Blossom ones are not on this list because it is not a current City Connect jersey. If it was just all-time City Connect, the Cherry Blossoms would be on this list. But unfortunately, I'm doing the top five current list. And I texted Kev earlier today because I told him what I was doing for the top five. And I told him, I was like, you know, I got a top four pretty easily. But I was going through all the jerseys and I was like, I don't really like any of these. These are all just, like, for a fifth one. I was like, these are all just okay. Like, nothing is, like, wow. I was like, I put them in, like, would I buy this jersey? And four of them I would buy. Then the fifth one, I'm like, I probably wouldn't buy it, but it's a decent jersey. It's not terrible.
And I told you, like, good luck trying to, like, formulate this because I feel like the City Connects is a common topic on this podcast. We talk about City Connects quite a bit.
Yeah.
And they're a big story, sort of. I mean, at least in the uniform baseball world.
Yeah.
And usually when we talk about City Connects, it's in a negative sense. Yeah. So this is actually going to be interesting for me to hear positive feedback from the City Connects.
Yeah.
And what they are currently.
I think a little bit of a reason why we talk about it so much is I like jerseys a lot. I've become to collect jerseys now. I have way more than I should in terms of just football, baseball. I've started to collect other players, not just Phillies players. But I think jerseys are a good way to represent your, I mean, obviously they're your team logo with it. Like, you wear the team, like, I think the best uniform in baseball is the Phillies powder blue. Like, and I'm biased, but like, it's pretty up there with it in terms of just best uniform. And I just feel like those types of, and also with Nike's deal with Fanatics, you know, you get different jerseys every year pretty much. But let's go. We'll start with number five. This is number five. This one I like, but it's not something that I'm like super, super in love with. And it came out last year and it's got some blue accent to it. But it's not like, so it's the Cleveland Guardians City Connect. They're number five. Now, when you look at it, there's nothing really like super flashy about it, but I like the colors. The colors of it are nice. There's nothing like, it's got the CLE over top on the front. The font's not crazy dumb, and they got the stripe on the side, and I think there's some pattern on the jersey, but I don't know what the pattern is. But the Cleveland hat with it is nice. It's got the white front with the C, red C, with the blue on the back. I just think that it flows. You know, it's not all blue. It's not all crazy. It's subdued, but it's still a nice accent to, and it's also kind of similar colors to the team. You know, it's not crazy different colors like the Phillies do with theirs, like with it. But I do like Cleveland's jersey. That's number five. I wouldn't buy Cleveland's jersey, but I like it. It's number five.
I heard something. I don't know if it's true or not, that were they going to be bringing any of the Indians logos back?
There was some talks about bringing Chief Wahoo back. Mm-hmm. There was. I haven't looked too much into it, just because it seems like anytime that there's a little bit of traction, the same things go for Washington with the Redskins. Like, like anytime that there's any like talk about it, it kind of just, it's kind of like a talk for like a week and then it just subdued. So would I be surprised if it comes back? No, but at the same time, I'm not expecting it either. Yeah. So Cleveland Guardians, number five. Next one just came out. And I got someone, I think I talked to Taylor about this. He didn't like it at all. He thought that he liked this is the second version of the City Connect for the Chicago White Sox. And when I first saw the Chicago White Sox new City Connect, I was like, dang, that's really cool. It's a cool concept. And if you don't know what it is, the Chicago White Sox, they revealed basically a Chicago Bulls type baseball jersey where it's the red Chicago Bull with stripes, black stripes, and then black sleeves. I think it's really cool. I like it a lot. Like I've wanted to get this in a Michael Jordan jersey because of him playing for the White Sox. Now, I'm not sure why Taylor didn't like it, but he liked the South Side one, which is the all black, which is, I think, is a good jersey too. But I just think the concept of like bringing in another like actual franchise that is in Chicago to like your jersey, I think is pretty cool.
Maybe that's the problem I have with it. Because like when I look at the design, I like it too, but I'm wondering if they're doing this to distract from how bad they are. So they're going to bring in like a noted historic franchise from another sport to be your City Connect jersey.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
I mean, I don't know if that's why Taylor didn't like it, but I mean, like when I look at it and think about it now, it's like they're really kind of taken from another sport for their City Connect.
So you think it's a selfish move more than an actual like, or it's more of a PR move more than?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I think it is.
Hmm. I mean, it was time for them to have a new City Connect, so it's not like.
But what made the Southside one was that it was unique to them. What they're doing with the new one is they're taking from another team and placing it on their own jersey.
Yeah, because like if the Phillies did something Eagles related, I probably wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
But I think maybe because I'm not a White Sox fan or a Bulls fan, I see it and I'm like, that's kind of a cool concept with it. But if the Phillies, okay, I'll do the Sixers. Like if the Phillies did a Sixers thing, I'd be like, that is kind of dumb.
Let's be real. If they wanted to do an Eagles jersey for Phillies one time, that wouldn't surprise me.
Okay. Imagine a Kelly Green Phillies jersey. Oh, my God. Those things would sell like crack.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I have been on record saying that I think that the Kelly Green jerseys are overrated. I like them. But, dear God, people, like, it's just a Kelly Green. Like, it's just a jersey. Like, the Midnight Green is way better than the Kelly Green. I will fight people to the death on that. Kelly Green is a good alternative jersey, but God, no. All right, let's move on. Number three, and this one was revealed last year. We're kind of staying in the central part of the United States. The Cincinnati Reds. Now, this isn't super flashy. It's not like crazy, It's simple. It's all black. It's got Cincy across the center, and it's got the outline of Cincy is really nice. It's kind of got that white black. It's kind of almost like a villain type jersey, in my opinion. But there's nothing super flashy about it. Like it's got the black. I just like it. There's nothing super crazy about it. It's just a good jersey.
I think black jerseys are like black cars, like really sleek.
Yeah.
And I feel like it could really work with the right color scheme. And I think the Reds do it well.
Yeah.
With their color scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually like their C logo on the helmet, how it's enlarged.
Yeah.
It's almost sort of like plastered on the helmet itself.
Yeah. And it's I don't know, it's kind of like traced. It kind of looks like an Etch-A-Sketch type thing.
Yeah.
But it works.
Yeah.
I would love a Joey Votto jersey in the City Connect. Like, that'd be a really cool jersey. I don't have anything else to say about it. Like, it's simple. Like, good jerseys are simple, but are also have a little bit of flair to it. Like the Yankees are a little bit different just because they're classic. But you look at the Phillies jersey, like, it has the pinstripes and it has the Phillies logo, but it's got the stars as the eyes, the blue stars. Like, that's just, it's simple, but it's has a little flash to it. You don't need, like, I don't like the, I can't remember which jersey it is now. But I was like, there's way too much going on. There's just way too much. The Phillies have way too much going on. There's just, the hats are fine. But dear God, they needed to have it, the color scheme of it. The colors are fine. It's just how the colors flow together are just terrible with it. Don't get me started. But yeah, the Phillies are not making this list, everyone. Sorry about that. I will say the next one, number two, just got released on Friday. And I think this concept is really, really cool. The Boston Red Sox, they released the Fenway. Is it the Green Monster jersey? I think that's what it's called. It's the Green Monster jersey. It's the color of the Green Monster. It's green. The lettering is the same lettering that you have on the what's the scorebook? Not scorebook. Scoreboard. The scoreboard. Then you have the yellow accent with the line, with the home run line. They're clean. They're clean. Like, there's nothing bad about them. You know, they're not super flashy, but they're clean. They have enough accent with the yellow, and the green is simple. It's not crazy. It's not an ugly color. It works. It works.
Yeah, their original ones, I like the idea of it. I just didn't like how it played out.
Was the Boston Marathon?
Yeah. It was based on the Boston Marathon, so that's why it was a blue and yellow. And not like they were bright yellow and bright blue. And I feel like this matches the Red Sox a lot better. And I like the color scheme. It's clean, like you said. The font plays on, you know, the Fenway style that it has. So.
Yeah. I haven't heard much feedback from the recent jerseys yet. I know people didn't like the Colorado Rockies new one. I liked that one, but I looked at it more and I was like, there's just too much going on with it. And I think it's better than their old Rockies jerseys, because the Rockies jerseys had the green go into the pants. So I was like, oh, this is terrible. But yeah, the Red Sox won the Green Monster. It just looks clean. And that's what a good jersey is. It looks clean and there's not too flashy, but enough flash where, like, wow, that's a good jersey. Yeah, I don't have anything bad to say about that. Like, I would get a Dustin Pedroia Green Monster one. Who else would I get? I might get a Pedro one. A Pedro one would be good. I know you don't like that, but... all right, number one, and it pains me to say it. Houston Astros know how to make good jerseys. The Houston Astros, what their jersey's called the Stros. And while they had the Space City Connect, which was a great jersey in and of itself, the Stros jersey is a callback to basically the 1970s type team, where they have like the star kind of shooting. But it's just called the Stros. But the color scheme works. It's not super flashy, and it's simple and clean. It has Stros across the center, and there's a star, the orange Astro star around the S, and the numbers below it. And it's just simple and clean. It's a callback to the old Astros jersey, which were really cool, but it just works. Like, I don't know anything else about it. Like, the font is pretty cool on the back. Like, the numbers are cool. There's nothing bad about it. It's just super clean. Like, if I was an Astros fan, I would have bought one already.
Well, I think it's like a mix of all their jerseys from the past.
Yeah.
So then The jerseys, when I first saw the Astros ones, kind of reminded me of the 90s Astros jerseys with the star shooting across it.
Yeah.
But it also still has the color scheme of the 70s and 80s ones, but not, like, in your face. So if you've seen, like, those old ones where it's, like, all the reds and oranges and yellows across it, it's more accented in, like, the star and on the sleeve. Yeah. And I think that works better.
Yeah. The only thing that I heard negative feedback on with this was Nichols. He talked about how he didn't like Stros. He didn't like, he was like, just call it the Astros. And I was like, but it's kind of like just Stros. Like, better that way. Just simpler. It's a City Connect. It's different with it. And I liked it. I don't know. I don't have anything bad to say about it other than the fact that it's the Astros. That's it. So that's my list. So number five, we got Cleveland. Number four, we got, what did I have four? White Sox. Number three, we got the Cincinnati Reds. Number two, we got the Boston Red Sox. And number one, we got the Stros with it. So let me know what your thoughts are. You know, am I wrong? Obviously, there's three of these are brand new.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little bit, I was like, bang, this is, a lot of these are new. Like the Cherry Blossoms would be on the list if they still had it. The South Side might be on this list if they if they still had it, but you know, I looked at a lot of the jerseys.
Yeah,
they're bad.
Yeah,
like they're not just like, ugh. It's hard. It's really dumb.
That or they're like they're too closely related to their throwbacks. So like Pittsburgh's, for example, there's like almost no difference except it says like PGH on the front instead of Pittsburgh or the big P on
The Braves throw the Braves City Connect are literally their throwbacks. Like there's I think there's one difference. I'm like, like they're good. It's a great jersey. The Braves jerseys are fantastic, but it's not different enough for me to say, it's a great City Connect.
I feel like I don't know if the Mariners are similar in that way, like because they have like the retro like fonts, but the color is a bit different.
Yeah, so I like the jersey of Seattle. Like if that's top for me, but the overall uniform, it doesn't work because the black and blue, just I hate that combo. It's so bad. It's so bad.
Or you know, the most original City Connect was the first Dodgers one. It's just the Dodgers jersey, except it says Los Dodgers.
Oh yeah, and it's all blue. And their new ones are terrible too. It's like Pop-Tart. Or confetti cake, whatever it is. It's terrible. It's terrible. All right. So that's my top five for you. And, of course, we ended it on a way where we were just roasting the other jerseys and not just talking about how good my list is with it.
Of course.
Of course. That's just how we are. And to continue with the negativity, we're going to move into our junk ball section here. We're kind of labeling this segment, why baseball sucks right now. Or has Kev texted me earlier? What did you call it? Oh, he's chewing. I caught him mid-chew. Right now, there are, if you hadn't noticed, recently, there were three managers that got fired. First one was Derek Shelton of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Then we had Brendan Hyde, and we also had Bud Black get fired. Brendan Hyde for the Orioles, Bud Black for the Rockies. All three of these teams are underperforming and are on pace for less than 55 wins. There's also another team on pace for less than 55 wins, but we'll get to them later. Mm-hmm. The Pirates have been a disappointment because I don't even know how to phrase how we're doing this right now, but the reason why we're saying baseball sucks right now is that you have these teams, along with a couple others, that are putting out a terrible, terrible product because of terrible ownership and the decisions that they've made.
Mm-hmm.
But the managers are getting, the managers get the scapegoat because that's just how baseball works. But you have the Pirates. Let's just start with the Pirates, for example. Pirates, they fire their manager, Derek Shelton, after a 12-26 start. They have not been good at all. Paul Skenes has been pretty much the only bright spot. O'Neill Cruz has been underperforming. Brian Reynolds is underperforming. Key Brian Hayes underperforming. A lot of their first-round picks underperforming. Paul Skenes is pretty much the only bright spot in that team. Derek Shelton gets the can because the team really hasn't done anything. But I want to read what the Pirates owner Bob Nutting, this is what he said about the, I'm going to just read a quote from part of the release of the statement that he said about Derek Shelton. There's a lot of baseball left to be played. We need to act with a sense of urgency and take steps necessary to fix this now and get back on track as a team and organization. A sense of urgency? This team, the Pirates, have not signed a free agent to a multi-year deal since 2013. Mm-hmm. I was in high school in 2013. Mm-hmm. That was my year I graduated. They have not signed a free agent to more than 1 year since then. How can you say a sense of urgency when you have not invested in this team? I know they signed Brian Reynolds. They needed to re-sign him. O'Neill Cruz hasn't worked out. But you can't say there's a sense of urgency with this team when you have not invested in the team.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand it. There's been a lot of talk about for Bob to sell the team. Pirates fans are just miserable right now.
Well, and that's a part of it, because Pittsburgh is not only terrible at running their team with talent, they're also terrible to their own fans in two ways. I mean, they started off the season with a public relations nightmare on two fronts.
Oh, yeah.
The first of which was on the right field wall. It's called the Roberto Clemente wall, and it's 21 feet high because he wore number 21. And there was a decal on the right field wall for him. At the beginning of the year, they placed like an alcohol ad, like a, I think it was like
Surfside.
Yeah. They stuck that right over his decal without telling anyone, or like Roberto Clemente's son or anything like that. And Pirates fans, you know, as you can imagine, not happy about that.
Not happy.
Clemente's family not happy about it. And they're like, oh, it was just an honest mistake. An honest mistake.
One of the best baseball players in baseball history and the best, most important player in your franchise history. Like, come on.
Yeah, so there's that. But there's also another one where they used to have something called Bucko Bricks,
mm-hmm.
where Pirates fans had the opportunity to buy these bricks, which they would place in front of the home plate entrance at PNC Park. In September, they approved a sidewalk replacement for those for the front of that, and they just kind of took all those bricks and threw them in the trash. Now, it just came out a week ago that they were trying to negotiate a way for the fans to get those bricks back.
Yeah.
But the Pirates didn't even acknowledge that. They just threw them away as opposed to offering the bricks back to the people who bought them. Terrible organization.
Yeah.
Terrible to their team, terrible to their fans.
Yeah. That's kind of what we're getting at. Like, the reason why baseball sucks is that this ownership and these owners just don't spend the money that is needed and invest in it, because there's the revenue sharing from the Dodgers, Yankees, Phillies, Red Sox, all these teams that actually spend money and they have a revenue part and that's shared to the other teams. Yeah. There's no incentive for the Pirates to go and spend money because they're still making a profit.
Well, Tito talks so much about, like, oh, baseball needs a salary cap. What about a salary floor?
Yeah.
You need to have a salary floor where you're like, okay, you're going to spend this much money or you're going to get like some sort of negative repercussion for it.
We talked about it, I think, a little bit on a previous podcast, and I think there really needs to be a incentive to spend money with it and not be like, oh, hey, like, yeah, the Dodgers spent $700 million or whatever. Oh, yeah, the Marlins actually have to spend money, I think, by the end of the year. Like, there is a little bit of an incentive. The Marlins have to spend, I think, an extra ad payroll. I think they have to add, like, $30 million or something like that. I don't know what clause it is in the luxury tax or whatever, but they have to actually add payroll. So there is a little bit there, but, dear God, it's the reason why baseball sucks. That's why we're getting to this, is that you have these owners that just don't care. They don't care about the fans. They don't. And so I want to move on to the next team that got the next manager that got fired. And that's Brendan Hyde. Now, ownership, I'm going to give a little bit more of a slide to this one than probably the Pirates or the Rockies or the White Sox. The reason why, they just became owners last year. The David Rubenstein and his ownership group, they just became owners, I believe, last year. I think it was sometime last year. Now, the reason why Brandon Hyde got fired is because they started 15-28 as the Baltimore Orioles. How many games did Baltimore win last year? I think they won 100. Did they win 100?
Close.
They won 100, but they've been in the playoffs the last 2 years. Yes. They haven't scored a run in the last 2 years, it feels like. But the Orioles didn't go out and get any pitching whatsoever. You have that much talent of a roster, and you don't get any pitching whatsoever. Obviously, they've had Grayson Rodriguez hurt. That's a huge loss. They lost Corbin Burns. They tried to spend money on Corbin. But then you lose out on Corbin, and you don't try and go get Max Fried. I can't remember the timeline of this, but you weren't in conversation with Max Fried. I didn't hear any rumblings about Sasaki. I didn't hear anything about trading for Crochet or talk about Dylan Cease from the Padres with it. I didn't hear any rumblings of it. It was pretty much, oh, Corbin Burns, oh, we're out. And then they went and got Charlie Morton, who has gotten moved to the bullpen. I'm not sure if he's moved to the rotation anymore because he's been so bad.
Yeah.
And then they signed Kyle Gibson, who was now DFA'd
because
he had a 15 ERA or whatever.
A 16.78 ERA. After signing a $5 million one-year contract.
Oh, my gosh.
And in the surprise of surprises, one of their other splashes in the offseason, Tyler O'Neill is now hurt. He is on the 10-day injured list with a left shoulder impingement. Which,
yeah. Do you remember my hot take from last podcast?
What was it again?
It was the Orioles are going to tread water, and they're going to trade for a Seattle Mariners starting pitcher.
Vaguely, I remember that.
That was my hot take. That's not happening anymore at all. That's not even, if that happens, that'd be catastrophic. That'll be the meteor coming towards right to this podcast right now. That's how hot it is. Because the Orioles suck. They're on pace to lose over 100 games.
They had their chance to get starting pitching. They tried to go in on Corbin Burns, and the ship has sailed. When you're down this far already, it's going to be very difficult to get back. And who's on the market for pitching right now? No one's out there.
One of the things that I was thinking about with my dad today at work, are they going to be sellers at the deadline? You know, could you see them trading? You know, has it gotten to the point where, you know, they needed to re-sign Gunnar and Adley? Like, those are the two main ones that they need to re-sign. Do you possibly go and kind of put them out in the market? Like, has it come to that?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think Orioles management might be seeing this as a major blip on the radar, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And their core is too good, I think, to give up so quickly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't try to, like, sell everyone right away.
Batista and Cano are going to be talked about a lot in the bullpen just because they're good bullpen pieces, especially with the Phillies now with the Alvarado suspension. Didn't even talk about that, and don't need to. But that bullpen with Batista and Cano, they're going to get a lot of interest for trading. I don't know if they will, but it just kind of crossed my mind given that they have so much talent in that roster, but just so bad pitching. It's really sad. I feel bad for Baltimore fans. Like, they had, like, it feels like their window is, like, closing, even though they're so young.
Yeah.
Because the pitching is just so bad. So I hope ownership actually tries to invest and trade some pieces to go get some pitching and spend some money on pitching so that way they're back next year to at least competitive. Right now, they're not competitive.
No.
So it's a shame that Brandon Hyde got axed, but you know the team didn't go and spend money in the offseason to go get pitching. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to the last reason why baseball sucks right now. Colorado Rockies are the worst team in baseball. They have 8 wins.
Yeah,
it's the end of May.
Worse than even we thought they would be.
Yes, they are. They are on pace to win, I think, 30-something games, I believe, which would set the record again. 2 years in a row, we'd set the record, which is not good for baseball. That's the reason why baseball sucks. Now, the Rockies have been known to make some really, really bad decisions with in baseball. You know, trading away Nolan Arenado, and sending money with him to the Cardinals, and also signing Chris Bryant the next year to a $182 million deal when Chris Bryant is kind of on the downward trajectory. I just don't get what the Rockies are doing. I don't get it.
I don't understand how a team can already be 30 games under 500 in mid-May. And they've won only three games on the road this year. Three games on the road, and they have a 150 run differential.
Yeah.
Which is far and away the largest in baseball.
Yeah.
The Orioles are second, and they're negative 86. So they're almost double.
Like
the Orioles.
Bud Black getting fired, he'd been with them for a decent amount of time. Like, I can understand, like, it was just time. But his team just absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
There's no one that strikes fear into the lineup or pitching whatsoever. I mean, you have Kyle Freeland as a pitcher. That's the only pitcher that Herman Marquez. But other than that, like, and those guys aren't great. You know, they're serviceable pitchers. But when you're a serviceable pitcher in Colorado, that means you got to have a 5 ERA. And when your team is known for being a good offensive team and they're not a good offensive team, you're going to have results like this.
Yeah.
But they're not investing in their players with it. Like, there's,
and now with Chris Bryant hurt, which is the surprise of the century.
Wait, he's hurt?
Yeah.
No way.
There's literally no reason to watch them.
No, I have no.
He was the slightest glimpse, perhaps, because he was a former Cub and he was a star there.
Yeah.
But now there's no.
No.
Who on this team would you watch?
You got Tovar. You got McMahon. But they're
ooh,
not. Exactly.
Wow. They're,
like, McMahon set, I think, a Rockies record for, like, hit lists or something, even, like, 0 for 33. Like, how can you go 0 for 33 and play for the Rockies? That's just not possible. The Rockies should be a top 10 offensive team every year just because of where they play.
Like, if I was someone like, you know, a hitter like Judge or Soto, I would love to go to a team like Colorado because I would be hitting like 50, 60 home runs every year in that ballpark.
Yeah. But ownership is just absolutely god awful. Yeah. I got to look at them. Colorado Rockies owner. I don't even know. Not manager, owner.
It's just astounding looking at the NL West and you see, you know, all these teams above 500 playing well. And then you have the Rockies sitting at the very bottom.
It's like the White Sox last year. This NL Central, all they're going to do is beat up on the Rockies.
Mm-hmm.
So the Rockies ownership is the Monfort brothers. They've been the managers since 1992. And
their entire existence.
Yeah. The only time that the Rockies actually were good was 2007. That's the only time I can remember the Rockies actually being good. I think they made the playoffs back in 2010 or 2009. But that was when they still had that same core with players, with Matt Holliday, Todd Helton, you know, Troy Tulowitzki, Houston Street in the bullpen. Baldo had that one good year in 2010.
I think it was 2010.
But they don't make any good moves. They don't make any good trades. Obviously, the location is hard with the offensive era getting pitching, but they just make really dumb decisions.
Yeah.
Case in point, the Nolan Arenado trade was just like, why are you trading your best player to the Cardinals and then giving them $30 million. The Cardinals want him. You don't have to incentivize them more. And then literally the next year they sign Chris Bryant. You're like, what are you doing? You just got rid of your best player and the only player that actually people cared about. And then you sign Chris Bryant and he's, okay, have you seen Chris Bryant's stats?
With
the Rockies.
No.
Oh God, it's really bad. It is really bad. So he signed a 7 or 8 year deal. Let me make sure I get the numbers right here. He signed a 7 year, $182 million deal in 2022.
That's going to go down as one of the worst contracts of all time.
Yes. So he has played 4 years. This is his fourth season with them. He's played a total of 170 games in 4 years. He has a negative 1.6 WAR. In Colorado.
It's the Carl Pavano of the Rockies.
He has a .244 batting average, .695 OPS, and 17 homers and 61 RBI. It's just, oh my God.
Yeah.
You kind of feel bad for him because he's been so injured. But also, he shouldn't have signed with the Rockies.
Well, doesn't he have some sort of degenerative back injury?
Yeah. It's turning into like Strasburg and David Wright with some of their like back and like arm issues. It's like it's gotten to the point where you pretty much should just retire with it. But again, ownership just makes bad decisions. And, like, they should not have signed Chris Bryant. Like, that was a bad decision. But they anyway, that's another reason why baseball sucks right now. We could talk about the White Sox. They've been better this year, but
they're still bad.
They're still really bad.
There's not much to talk about the White Sox, honestly, other than Luis Robert coming out today or yesterday saying that he's not a good trade candidate.
Wait, what? I'm totally new to this.
You didn't hear that?
No, he said he's not a good trade candidate?
No. So, hold on, let me try and bring it up. Well, because he hasn't been playing that great.
Well, but, so he said himself that, does he just not want to be traded? He's like comfortable. Why would, I don't understand this.
Yeah, he's like, when he was asked about trade rumors, he said, as of right now, with how my season is going, I don't think anyone is going to take a chance on me.
Okay, that's different than how you phrase. Okay, it's still bad.
He's still acknowledging he's not a good trade candidate.
Yeah,
by saying that.
Yeah,
no one's going to take a chance on him.
Yeah, at least he's being account. Like he has some accountability there because he has taken some flack for kind of being a little bit lazy with it, and he has so much talent.
Yeah, they'll look at his stats right now.
I know it's bad. I don't need to look. I know they're bad. He has so much talent. Like they should have traded him last year. Like he was struggling last year, but he still had some weight. Yeah. But now they're not going to get anything for him. Yeah. Like his contracts were really good, but his numbers have just been absolutely putrid. I don't even think if he went to the Dodgers and just played. You're starting to see like these players that are so good talent-wise and they have a couple good years, but they're just not continuing to be good players. I don't know what it is with it. And we talked a little bit about this before the podcast, like this morning, like how the game and how the mentality of it has changed, and it's not good for baseball. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why baseball sucks right now is that you're seeing these players have low batting average and they're just not getting as many hits. You're getting walks, but it's not as exciting.
And a bajillion strikeouts. Like, I think we could talk and bash on the bottom teams as much as we want.
Yeah.
But I think what stood out to me above them is, and this is something I mentioned in our season preview, is that the American League in particular is not good. It's very mediocre watching the American League. It's definitely not the class of baseball that it's been for the last like 20 years, because even like as far back as I can remember, it seemed like the American League was the better league, at least over the National League. Though I watched the American League this year and you have the Yankees, the Tigers have been off to a great start, and the good teams are doing good, I guess.
They're okay.
Yeah, but it's not like it's very mediocre and it's dull.
Yeah.
It's not as exciting as the National League. And I feel like you got to have both leagues doing well. And the American League, I think, is really like bringing Major League Baseball down right now in terms of excitement. There's not a lot of excitement there.
Yeah, all these teams in the American League are kind of just average. Like there's a lot of just good, not great teams.
Yeah.
Like Red Sox, Toronto, Mariners, Astros, Rangers, Twins, Cleveland. Like they're all teams that are kind of want to make the playoffs, but like they're kind of just right now. Nothing's like, there hasn't been like a, oh man, they're gotten a roll, you know, like I know that the Twins got in a roll, but they were below 500 and they're still in second place because Detroit's been so good. Detroit's best team in baseball right now. Like in terms of record,
they've been doing great.
I mean, you got Skubal, he's fantastic. Also, let's pause. Let's talk about a good thing about baseball. Javi Baez, a bright spot in seeing him do well.
Comeback player of the year.
That would be fantastic. That would be so good for baseball. It's such a good story. I mean, I know he's getting paid millions and millions of dollars, but he goes to Detroit. He wants to kind of revitalize Detroit, and he just struggles for a couple years. And he's absolutely horrible. One of the worst baseball players in baseball. His defense is still fantastic, but this year they moved him to center field, and he's doing fine in center field. But he's batting 290 and hitting. He got 6 home runs. He's got 28 RBIs.
He already has as many home runs this year as he did all of last year.
Well, it's just fantastic. It's great. That's great for baseball.
Yeah.
It's the only bright spot that we're going to talk about and why baseball doesn't suck. But baseball right now, because of you have these teams that are, there's no incentive for them to get better with it. Paul Skeens is going to get traded. He might not get traded this year, but he's going to get traded.
Because that's what the Pirates do.
Because the Pirates do.
Pirates do it all the time. Someone gets good. It's like, oh, wait, they've reached the threshold. They're an all-star now. We gotta trade him away and get money back for him.
Yeah. You got any more to say before we end it about why baseball sucks?
Well, I was reading an interesting article, which I shared with you earlier.
Oh, yes.
The Wall Street Journal.
Yes.
Which was called Baseball Needs More Young Adult Fans. Here's How to Get Them. And it was pretty much a writer from the Wall Street Journal, James Hirsch. And he asked his daughter what the game can do to attract her and her cohort. And she offered 5 ideas. So I'll just read them out and we can kind of bounce off of what.
Let's preface that this woman is 26 years old and she works for a sports betting company.
Yes.
Let's add that because it's not just like his younger daughter who's 6 years old.
No. Yeah. No.
This is an adult woman. Yes,
that's good context.
Yeah.
So one was make the games more accessible. And
I
what
totally
they mean,
agree.
Yes. And she mentioned that baseball needs its own type of red zone, which I think it kind of does, but they don't play through games entirely. It's not the same thing.
No, it's not the same.
I do agree with that. The blackout rules are dumb.
It's the dumbest thing.
You know, you have to buy like a couple streaming services just to watch your games in your own market.
Yeah, it's pathetic. I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
She started off strong.
Yeah.
She started off strong.
Forge media partnerships to elevate storylines. And what she means by this is leverage like joining podcasts and social media outlets that the younger generation cares about. So like young influencers or engagement on social media to bring the younger set in.
Yeah. I don't mind that.
Which is reasonable.
It's reasonable. Yeah. Yeah. Like, they're going to give us a call?
I think we're a little too old now.
Yeah, we're
old.
We're boomers.
We're old.
You're old.
Number 3, bring back the rivalries. And she said the teams don't hate each other like they used to.
Which is true.
Which is true. I think that also has to do with the quality of play as well. Like, it's a long time from the Yankees and Red Sox back in the early 2000s when both teams were good. I think if the teams were good, like, playing each other, you would have really strong rivalries.
Yep.
And that goes back to the talent aspect that we were talking about earlier.
Like, there's no incentive for these teams to go and obviously they're trying to homegrown talent, but the talent just doesn't seem to be staying and sticking the way it used to be.
Number 4, leverage diversity. And what she meant by this was like MLB. And, you know, I can see this part too, because when baseball broke the color barrier, there was a lot of, you know, Puerto Ricans and Hispanics coming in. And you could tell that, at least from that perspective, there's not nearly as much interest from the minority aspect as there used to be.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I know MLB has started some initiatives. I'm not sure if it's the Play 60 initiative, but I know that there is some initiatives. I think McCutcheon was part of it back a little bit ago of trying to get more of like the inner city youth involved with baseball instead of basketball or football with it. Which I think is important, you know, any way to get the kids off the street and, you know, with all that. But I think it is important. Obviously, with the color barrier being broken by Jackie Robinson, like that was huge with baseball. Like baseball has that. But there is, you know, I think she mentioned in the article, like baseball is too white still. And it's a big Hispanic population for baseball. But, you know, there is some argument to be made that baseball is too white in the sense that, like, we're not getting, you know, everyone's going to basketball and football with it. Like, that's just what they're watching with it. So,
and then number 5 is own Sunday night and make Sunday night must-watch TV for baseball.
Yeah.
And the part I agree with this portion of it is that I feel like the MLB has been compromising with the NFL for far too long. So they'll schedule around the NFL. They'll concede things to the NFL. They're not actually competing with the NFL or try to, because they're like, well, everybody just watches football now, so why even try?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. They need to do what ESPN did with Monday Night, where they went out and got Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. and spend a little bit of money. I don't. This is impossible. I don't think John Miller would do it. But you need to get John Miller back, just for 5 years. Get John Miller to do Sunday Night Baseball for something. Like, I know ESPN's not doing, is the contract's ending after this year. Is it this year or next year?
I think it's, is it this year?
Anyway, yeah. Either way, within the next couple of years, Sunday Night Baseball will be no longer. Like, there's no televised ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. It'd be great if Fox picked it up.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
And they do, like, you know what? Sunday Night Baseball in America. Like what NBC does with NFL. That'd be really, really good. So that way, you know what? It's, we get the key matchups that are, it's almost like they, you know, the Sunday Night Football is, it's like the, I think it's the best time to watch football, because you just had the whole Sunday to watch, but now you just relax and watch the last game of the and it's not Monday night. It's not like, I got to go to work and everything, but like, just relaxing on Sunday night.
I don't know if he would even be interested in commentating for baseball. I think someone like Gus Johnson to commentate baseball games. That would be super fun.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Or Kenny Albert.
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh yeah, that'd be great. Oh man. Or Kevin Harlan.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Kevin Harlan. That'd be great. But who's the Orioles old broadcast guy that I like?
Gary Thorne.
Get Gary Thorne back.
He did do national for a while.
Yeah, he was really good. Yeah. Like the baseball needs to almost bring in like the nostalgia, of it with it, because they need to. The Carl Ravitch, it sucks. I liked Carl Ravitch back when he did Baseball Tonight, but he's not an announcer. He's not an announcer for baseball. So I kind of agree that the more I think about it, I actually kind of agreed with a lot of her stuff. A little bit. More than I thought.
Yeah.
Huh.
You are a marketing major.
I am a marketing major.
Yeah. I guess the one part I didn't like about that is that she wanted to, like, add things to the broadcast themselves.
Yeah.
So she was like, oh, you know, have, like, a Manning cast like they do on Monday Night Football and, like, add, like, all these celebrities and stuff. And I'm like, that's a little too gimmicky, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, baseball has its promotions and its gimmicks too, but I feel like that's a bit too far.
Do you watch the Manning cast, like when you watch football, or do you rather watch the game?
I'd rather watch the game.
And that's the thing. It's more different to what they're trying to market to, trying to get more eyes on it.
Exactly.
But also, one of my least favorite things is when baseball tries to talk to players on the field.
Oh.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate it. You can tell that no guy wants to talk. You get every once in a while, you get a guy that actually is like, oh, this is fun. But most of the time, they're just like, I'm just doing this for the money.
Well,
and they donate the money to the charity, which is great, because you get like $10,000 to talk. I think Harper and Turner, like, they donated their money to charity or something like that. But,
well, it's like when they interview managers and coaches in the middle of a game, like, and not just in baseball, across all the sports. If I was a manager or a coach, I'd be like, leave me alone.
Yeah, no. You can tell. There's like, yeah, just leave me the frick alone. Like, go away. Yeah. No, thank you for adding that, because I think that was important for context of like how, you know, obviously baseball is, they've implemented the pitch clock. They've made some changes to things. They're trying to speed up the game, make it a little bit more accessible and more younger than the baseball purists like us. And they did see an uptick in attendance and everything, but it's still lower than what they probably want. So, let us know what you think. Why does baseball suck right now? You know, is it the reason why we say what we think it is? Because these owners aren't actually incentivized to actually spend money, and these managers are getting fired because the ownership is just terrible? Or is there another reason? Is it because the talent isn't what it used to be? Is the game, the strategy different? You know, why does baseball suck right now? Mm-hmm. So why don't you let us know? But
indeed,
one last thing before we close out.
Yes. And this is going to be a potentially boomer hot take, and one that people are probably not going to be big fans of.
Okay.
So within the last week,
there
was big news that came out of Major League Baseball where Rob Manfred reinstated.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson among two players, just, you know, pretty much saying, you know, if you die, like all like the past sins against baseball are forgiven you.
Yeah.
So P. Rose is now reinstated and is now eligible for the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Now, for a while, I was like, how in the world is not he not reinstated? He's the all-time hits leader. You know, he's called, you know, Johnny Hustle. He was like a player of his generation.
Yeah.
One of the hardest working baseball players around. When I thought about the current climate of baseball, one of the things that really sucks about baseball right now is all the sports betting and the gambling. You watch every advertisement and you see DraftKings and FanDuel and how they incentivize all this stuff, which 30 years ago essentially got Pete Rose out of Major League Baseball.
Yep.
So I feel like if you're really going to double down on something like that, you can't, like, you got to stick to your guns. You know, this undermines their Rule 21, which, you know, you prohibit betting on games. So it suggests that even severe violations can be forgiven.
Yeah.
And an argument can be made that the integrity of the game is not being taken all that seriously. So while I definitely believe that Pete Rose is a Hall of Fame caliber player, I think his reinstatement has come a bit too late. If you're going to reinstate him, it should have been before you let in, you open Pandora's box with the sports betting and the gambling. And I think you really need to, we need to return to players having a moral character, I think. So as good as they were, I mean, Rose does have allegations against him, not just in the sports betting sense, but also like stuff with, like, you know,
domestic
stuff going on. So I think it really got me thinking about how much moral character should play into someone's eligibility. So I guess my hot take is that I feel like the reinstatement was not good timing for it. If you were going to reinstate him beforehand, I don't think at this point reinstatement makes sense for Major League Baseball. That's my hot take.
I have a lot of thoughts, but I can't form them right now. I think my main thing is, do you think this opens up the door for steroids players getting in?
I think it does.
Okay.
If you're gonna forgive someone for sports betting and gambling, but also, like, you know, say steroids, oh, you can't do this.
Yeah.
You're kind of contradicting yourself there.
Yeah.
So where's your standard?
Yeah, that is. It does open up a lot of conversation.
Yeah.
About this topic of allegations and cheating and gambling, like, and all three of those in terms of, and also character too, you know, because, you know, not to get into it, but Schilling would be in the Hall of Fame if he wasn't an idiot with what he what he talks about and everything.
Yeah.
He just kept his mouth shut. But, you know, there's probably things and opinions of Hall of Famers that would not get them in the Hall of Fame today.
Well, yeah, look at Ty Cobb.
Yeah, like, that's just how it is. Like, yeah. But the way that the times have changed, like, Schilling's not getting in because he's just an idiot with what he says. And, you know, they're...
But being an idiot with what he says is different from his conduct affecting, like, the story he participated
in. Yeah, but that also goes into, like, you know, like, the domestic part, too, because, like, it's more of, like, what he does off the field that, like, is the reason why he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Because the steroids is what he did on the field. Like, that's the reason why Roger, Manny, Barry, McGuire, all those guys aren't in the Hall of Fame. That's on the field. All this stuff with the allegations and all this stuff is more off the field stuff that is keeping them off. Yeah, of the Hall of Fame.
And also, I don't like the timing because of he died. Because they clearly were not... This was like a revenge thing for Major League Baseball.
Oh, absolutely it was.
And that was scummy on their part to be like, we're going to wait until he's dead and then we'll reinstate
him. Yeah, they're not going to reward him while he's alive. I 100% agree. And I think we talked about it before. He's not going to get in the Hall of Fame until he's dead.
Yeah.
And then he dies. Was it not even a year later?
Yeah.
Like, that's, it's, yeah. No, I agree with that. Oh, yeah. There's a lot.
Yes.
That's a whole, we could talk probably 3 or 4 podcasts on all that whole topic.
Yes.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we're ending on a hot take. That's for sure. We normally do end on a hot take, but that's definitely, yeah.
To be continued, maybe.
Yeah, to be continued, maybe. Because we've kind of emphasized that we don't talk about controversial topics.
Yeah.
But that's something in baseball where it's Hall of Fame related with some of the best players in baseball history.
Well, steroids is controversial, and we talk about that. You can't avoid every controversy.
Yeah, I'm more talking about like the Trevor Bauer stuff and
right.
and kind of like the yeah. domestic, because we don't know the full story, and it's a very touchy subject.
Yes.
And I also don't know, like, sometimes I don't know where I stand on that stuff because I'm like, yeah, he's a jerk. Like, he absolutely, but then, like, he gets cleared of it. And I'm like, all right, he gets cleared, but, like, where does it stand? Because, like, yeah, no team wants to take on Trevor Bauer and his attitude and just all that PR stuff. And, like, yeah, he's an a-hole, but, yeah, and he's also not been a good pitcher in Japan recently, too. So he's not adding to his case.
Yes.
But, like, that type of conversation stuff I don't feel is good for podcast material. That's stuff for, like, heart-to-heart, like, in-person stuff. Like, I don't feel like that's good material for podcasts. One, I don't know, like, just personally, like, it's hard for me to make a decision on that because there are human beings involved and the people were hurt. Like the domestic, like anything domestic wise, like it's hard for me to make a decision because I don't know the full story and I want to respect both sides of it. And it's hard. It's really tough conversation. That's why we don't talk about it. Like it's not podcast material that we want to talk about. But with this stuff, with baseball and like cheating and steroids, that's stuff that we might dig into a little bit more now that they've opened Pandora's box.
Yeah.
Now that they've opened it. So, all right. I think we're done.
Yes.
I think we're done. Thank you for listening. Let us know why baseball sucks. Let us know if we're wrong.
I know a lot of people are going to tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm ready for it.
That's fine. So, all right. That's good. Let's end it there. Thanks for listening. Have a good one.
You too.